Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldhar and today we're Zichud Yuma Daf Nun Vav, the fifth parak Hotzi Elo. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, the Gemara said that in the case where the owner of a chatas bird has certainly died, the reason Rabbi Yehuda does not permit designating for zuzim, which is the price of a bird, to be the money of the dead owner and then throwing them into the water and letting the other zuzim in the collection box be permissible, is that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brera. The Gemara asks where it's known that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brera and brings a case in a brisa where one purchased wine from Kusim on Erev Shabbos before dark and he didn't have the kelim into which to pour the necessary truma meiser portions. Rabbi Meir permits one to rely on bread to designate the trumas and meisers now and separate them later, whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon prohibit him from drinking the wine until the trumas and meisers have been separated. The Gemara rejects this proof, bringing their words at the end of the brisa, which state that they said to Rabbi Meir, are you not moded that the wineskin might split open and the wine will spill and have been found retroactively to have drunk tevel? It's clear from here that their position is not based on the rejection of brera. Point number two, the Gemara brings a proof that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brera from a brisa taught by Ayo regarding making two conditional erevin when one does not know in which direction a chacham is coming from on Shabbos. Yehuda says, "Ein adam masna shnei dvarim ke'echad. A person may not make stipulations concerning two things, i.e. two chachamim, simultaneously, but only concerning a single chacham, regarding whom he may say that if the chacham comes to the east, his erev is to the east, and if he comes to the west, his erev is to the west." When it was asked why Rabbi Yehuda permits the two erevin in the case of a single chacham, if he does not hold a brera, Rabbi Yochanan answered, "Shekvar ba chacham, the case of the single chacham is an instance in which he'd already arrived before Shabbos." Rashi explains that the person making the erev was simply unaware of his location. But from the onset of Shabbos, he certainly wants the erev which is towards the chacham's location. Therefore, from the moment that he makes the two erevin, one of them is fully valid. When he learns of the chacham's location on Shabbos, the revelation is merely informing him of what had been determined before. The stipulation does not involve the use of brera. And point number three, we learned earlier the Rebbe permits only one stand to be used for the blood, out of concern that with two stands, the Kohen Gadol might confuse the bloods and take the wrong one. Gemara asks why Rebbe Yehuda does not permit taking two gold stands and writing upon each one, one is for the bull's blood and one is for the goat's blood. After all, we see Rebbe Yehuda regards writing on the brera shofaros, the collection boxes, as a sufficient safeguard against confusing them. The Gemara answers Rebbe Yehuda's concern, Mishum chush de Kohen Gadol lavadaite, that due to the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, he will not bear in mind to check the labels on the stand. So once again, the three points are number one. On Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, the Gemara said that in the case where the owner of a chatas bird has certainly died, the reason Rabbi Yehuda does not permit designating for zuzim, which is the price of a bird, to be the money of the dead owner and throwing the zuzim into the water and let the other zuzim in the collection box be permissible, is that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brera. The Gemara asks where it's known that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brera and brings a case in a brisa where one purchased wine from Kusim on Erev Shabbos before dark and he didn't have the kelim into which to pour the necessary truma meiser portions. Rabbi Meir permits one to rely on brera to designate the trumas and meisers now and separate them later, whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon prohibit him from drinking the wine until the trumas and meisers have been separated. The Gemara rejects this proof, bringing their words at the end of the brisa, which state that they said to Rabbi Meir, are you not motivated that the wineskin might split open and the wine will spill, and he'll be found retroactively to having drunk tevel? It's clear from here that their position is not based on the rejection of brera. Point number two, the Gemara brings a proof that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brera from a brisa taught by Ayo regarding making two conditional erevin where one does not know in which direction a chacham is coming from on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, "In adam masna o shnei dvarim ke'echad, a person may not make stipulations concerning two things, meaning two chachamim, simultaneously, but only concerning a single chacham, regarding whom he may say that if the chacham comes to the east, his erev is to the east, and if he comes to the west, his erev is to the west." When it was asked why Rabbi Yehuda permits the two erevin in the case of a single chacham, if he doesn't hold a brera, Rabbi Yochanan answered, "Shekvar ba chacham. The case of the single chacham is an instance in which he had already arrived before Shabbos." Rashi explains that the person making the erev was simply unaware of his location. From the onset of Shabbos, he certainly wants the erev which is towards the chacham's location. Therefore, from the moment that he makes the two erevin, one of them is fully valid. When he learns of the chacham's location on Shabbos, the revelation is merely informing him of what had been determined before. There's no need to involve the use of brera. And point number three, we learned earlier that Rebbe Yehuda permits only one stand to be used for the blood, out of concern that with two stands, the Kohen Gadol might confuse the bloods and take the wrong one. The Gemara asks why Rebbe Yehuda does not permit taking the two gold stands and writing upon each one, which one is for the bull's blood and which one's for the goat's blood. After all, we see Rebuta regards writing in the various collection boxes as a sufficient safeguard against confusing. The Gemara answers that Rebuta's concern mishum chush de kon gadol levadaite, that due to the weakness of the kon gadol, he will not bear in mind to check the labels on the stands. All right, so now we go to our simon for daf nun vav, and this simon was suggested to us by Rabbi Shlomo Weissman from Passaic, New Jersey, as well as Rabbi Moshe White from Edmonton, Alberta. They both suggested nun vav is a shusher in shul going nu nu. So here goes. The shusher in shul who said nu nu as he was about to make kiddush on kusi wine purchased erev Shabbos got so distracted when news came the chacham had arrived in the west before Shabbos that he accidentally put the coast down on the plate marked for Havdalah instead of the one marked for kiddush. Once again in slow motion. The shusher in shul who said nu nu, shusher in shul going nu nu, that must be more on daf nun vav. The shusher in shul said nu nu as he was about to make kiddush on kusi wine purchased erev Shabbos, which reminds us that on Duff Nun Hayam and Basic Gemara said that in the case where the owner of a chattis bird has certainly died, the reason Rabbi Yehuda does not permit designated for zuzim, which is the price of a bird, to be the money of the dead owner, and throwing them into the water and letting the other zuzim in the collection box be permissible, is Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brera. The Gemara asks, where does it know that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brera, and brings a case in a brace where one purchased wine from Kusim on Erev Shabbos before dark, and he didn't have the kelim to which to pour the necessary truma and maisa portions. Rabbi Meir permits one to rely on brera to designate the trumas and maisas now and separate them later, whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon prohibited from drinking the wine until the trumas and maisas have been separated. The Gemara rejects this proof, bringing their words at the end of the brace, which state that they said to Rabbi Meir, are you not moted that wineskin might split open and the wine will spill, and he will have been found retroactively to having drunk tevel? It's clear from here that their position is not based on the rejection of brera. So the shusher in shul said, nu nu, as he was about to make kiddush on kusi wine, purchased erev Shabbos, got so distracted when news came the chacham had arrived in the west before Shabbos, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a proof that Rebuta does not hold a brera from a braisa taught by Ayo regarding making two conditional erev and when one does not know in which direction the chacham is coming from on Shabbos. Yehuda says, "Ein on masna al shnei dvarim ke'echad, a person may not make stipulations concerning two things to chachamim simultaneously, but only concerning a single chacham regarding whom he may say that if the chacham comes to the east, his erev is to the east; if he comes to the west, his erev is to the west." Now, when it was asked, Rabbi Yehuda permits the two erevin in the case of a single chacham if he doesn't hold a brera. Rabbi Yochanan answered, "Shkvar ba chacham." The case of the single chacham is an instance in which he had already arrived before Shabbos. Rashi explains that the person making the erev was simply unaware of his location. From the onset of Shabbos, he certainly wants the Erev, which is towards the Chacham's location. Therefore, from the moment that he makes the two Erevin, one of them is fully valid. When he learns the Chacham's location on Shabbos, the revelation is merely informing him of what had been determined before. There is no need to involve the use of Brera. So the Shusher in Shul, who said, nu nu, as he was about to make Kiddush on Kusi wine purchased Erev Shabbos, got so distracted when news came the Chacham had arrived in the west before Shabbos, that he accidentally put the coast down on the plate marked for Havdalah, instead of the one marked for Kiddush. Which reminds us, we learned earlier that Rebuta permits only one stand to be used for the blood out of concern that with two stands, the Kohen Gadol might confuse the bloods and take the wrong one. They were asked why Rebuta does not permit taking two gold stands or writing upon each one, which one is for the bull's blood and which one's for the goat's blood. After all, we see Rebuta regards writing on the various collection boxes is a sufficient safeguard against confusing them. The Gemara answers Rabbi Yehuda's concern mishum chush the kohen gadol lavadaiti, that due to the weakness of the kohen gadol, he'll not bear in mind to check the labels on the stands. So once again, the shusher in shul who said nu nu as he was about to make kiddush on kusi wine purchased erev Shabbos got so distracted when news came the chacham had arrived in the west before Shabbos that he accidentally put the coast down on the plate marked for Havdalah instead of the one marked for kiddush. All right, now it's time for our four blot back chazara. Daf nun beis. So the simur nun beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must be more on daf nun beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit felt he had hit an amethyst brick wall, which reminds Rabbi Nassin said regarding the amatraxin, the chacham could not determine whether it was like the kodesh kadoshim within or like the kodesh without. Ravina objected to this, saying that perhaps the wall was neither within either area, and he brings a proof from Mishnah Midos, wherever the spaces occupied by the temple walls are counted, the amatraxin is counted separately from the kodesh kadoshim and the kodesh. The Gemara concedes and explains that the Rabban's doubt was whether it had the Kedusha of the Kodesh Kedoshim or that of the Kodesh. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit felt he had hit an amethyst brick wall, trying to properly read five confusing psukim, which reminds us. It was taught in the Braisa that Isi ben Yehuda said, Chamesh mikraos betorah ein lahem hechreya. There are five psukim in the Torah whose grammatical structure cannot be determined, Each pasuk contains a phrase that can be linked to either an earlier clause or a later clause. These phrases are Se'es, from Hashem's warning to Cain, Meshukadim, engraved like almonds, referring to the menorah, Machar, tomorrow, mentioned by Moshe to Yeshua regarding the war with Amalek, Arur, a curse, mentioned in Yaakov's bracha to Shimon and Levi, Vekam, but will rise up, mentioned Hashem's message to Moshe near the end of Moshe's life. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit felt he had hit, and on a thick brick wall, trying to properly read five confusing psukim, and how the model of a Beis HaMikdash could have an Aron and Paroches at the same time. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah described how the Kohen Gadol walked between the two curtains from south to north, and then when he reached the north, he entered the space of the Kodesh Kodashim and walked southward ad shehu magi l'Aron until he reached the place of the Aron. Notice in the Samachta ben Shnei HaBadim, he placed a shovel full of coals between the two poles. The Gemara wonders which Beis HaMikdash is described in the Mishnah. In Bais Rishon, the Kodesh Kodashim and the Kodesh were divided by a stone wall. It can't be referring to Bais Sheni, for a Braisa taught that Yoshiel hid the Aron, along with the Tzentzenes HaMan, the jar of Mun, the flask of Shemen and Mishcha, Aron staff that blossom, and the box of the Plishim sent as a present. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah is referring to Bais Sheni, and the Mishnah means that the Kohen Gadol placed the shovel full of coals in the place of the Aron where the poles would have been. Daf Nun Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince whose throne room filled with smoke, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice that the Torah states he shall take the Ketores and bring it within the Parochas, but Nasan as the Ketores ala Eish b'nei Hashem, and he shall take the Ketores upon the fire before Hashem. This teaches us the Kohen Gadol should not prepare the Ketores by placing it on the coals on the outside and then bring it into the Kodesh Kodashim. The Brice tells us this, to counter the mindset of the Tzedukim, who say that he should prepare it outside and then bring it in, who base their position on the Pasuk, Ba'anan Erel HaKaporis. If he comes with the cloud of smoke of the Ketores, then I will appear upon the Kaporis. The Rabbanan learned from that Pasuk, Shenosim Ba'mala Ashen, that when combining the different ingredients of the Ketores, one should put in Ma'ala Ashen. Rashi says that this is the certain herb that makes the smoke rise in a shaft, like a stick. So the Nigerian prince, whose throne room filled with smoke, insists that his servants exit, taking three steps backward, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis stated regarding the Kohen Gadol leaving the Kodesh Kodashim, that he left walking backwards in the manner of his entry. The Gemara asks how it's known that the Kohen Gadol walks backwards, where Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan that it's learned from a pasuk, V'yavu Shlomo l'Bama asher b'Givon Yerushalayim. And Shlomo came to the Bama which was in Givon Yerushalayim, since Givon and Yerushalayim are far apart. The Pasuk must be coming to make a hekesh comparing Shlomo going from Givon to Yerushalayim after offering his karbanos to his initial coming from Yerushalayim to Givon. So just as in his coming to Givon, he faced towards the Bama in the direction of his approach, so too in returning to Yerushalayim, his face was toward the Bama. And the same etiquette applies to Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim, who are part of the Ma'amavad, when they leave their service, to a Talmud when he leaves his Rebbe. And after one davens, you should take three steps backward, and afterward, say shalom. So the Nigerian prince, whose throne room filled with smoke, insisted his servants exit, taking three steps backward, and say a short prayer for the welfare of the state. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis stated that the Kohen Gadol recited a short tefillah in the outer chamber, but he didn't prolong it so as not to frighten the Jewish people. Rav Ada Bar Avada and Ravi Mar Avada both said in the name of Rav that the Kohen Gadol should say, may be your will, Hashem, our God, that if this year is destined to be hot, may be rainy. Rav Acha Breda Rava concluded the text of the tefillah in the name of Rav Yehuda as follows. Well, Yaade Avid Shulta Mebeis Yehuda, may one who exercises rulership not pass from the house of Yehuda. Well, you Amcha Yisrael, Srichim Parane Zemize, and may your people, Yisrael, not be required to receive sustenance from one another. Well, Tikanos of Anecho, Tfilos Obrei Drachim, and may the prayers of travelers to withhold the rain not be permitted to enter before you.
Daf Nun Daled, so the Simmer Daf Nun Daled is noodles. So here goes.
When the famed pasta chef noticed he was standing next to a pile of noodles, pasta chef, that must be on Daf Nun Daled. When the famed pasta chef noticed he was standing next to a pile of noodles on a certain kitchen tile, which reminds us that a discussion began on Daf Nun Gimel and Beis regarding the location of the Aron. A brice was brought that taught that both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say that the Aron went into Galus and Bavel, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says that the Aron was hidden in his place. On this Daf, Rabbi Nachman brought a brice that taught that according to the Chachamim, the Aron was hidden in the Lishkas Dir HaEitzim. This is where wood for the Mizbeach was stored and was examined by Kohanim Baal Emunim for worms. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said that this view was learned in a Mishnah in Shkalim, where there was an incident where a certain Kohen was busying himself in the Lishka, and he noticed that one of the stones of the floor was different from its counterparts. So he came to inform his colleague, and he didn't manage to conclude Ad Shiyatzis and Nishmaso before his soul departed from him. They therefore knew with certainty that the Aron was hidden there. So when the famed Pasuk Shef knows he was standing next to a pile of noodles on a certain kitchen tile,
He picked them up and found a picture of two young children. He picked them up and found a picture of two young children embracing, which reminds us. Rav Katina said that when the Jewish people would ascend to the temple on the regal, the Kohanim would roll up the parochas for them and show them the kruvim, which were joined together in an embrace, and the Kohanim would tell them, Re'u chibaschim ifnei amakom kechiba zachru nekeva. Behold your fondness before the omnipresent like the fondness between a male and a female. When Rav Chizkiya challenges, since even the Levim were prohibited from gazing at the Aron when it was being placed in the cover for its transport, Rav Nachman answered that this prohibition didn't apply during the temple era. He likened it to a kala. The whole time she's in her father's house, she's modest before her husband. Once she's fully married, she's no longer modest before her husband. Similarly, while the Jews were in the desert, we were likened to a kala, but once we were already in the land and had the base of Migdash, we were similar to a married woman. The reason the Kohen who wanted to reveal the location of the Aron died was because it was during Bais Sheni, which is likened to a woman who was divorced and taken back by her husband. A woman who's been divorced and taken back returns to her earlier fondness and is modest. So when the famed pastor chef knows he was standing next to a pile of noodles on a certain kitchen tile, he picked them up and found a picture of two young children embracing on top of a stone painted like a globe, which reminds us. The Mishnah stated that after the Aron was taken, the Kohen Gadol would place his shovelful and coals on the Evan Shasiya. A Bryce explains this name, Shemimena Hushasa Sa'olam. From this stone, the world was founded. A Bryce taught the following. Rabbi Lezer says, the world was created from its center. Rabbi Yeshua says, the world was created from its sides. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yeshua holds that the world began with four foundations marking the edges of the world, and they extended inward. Rabbi Yitzhak said, a Kodesh Baruch Hu threw a stone in the sea, and from that stone, the earth was founded. The Chachamim say, Mitzion Nibra, the world was created from Sion.
Daf Nun Hei, so the Simra Daf Nun Hei is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The children learning about speed limit signs, that must be more on Daf Nun Hei. The children learning about speed limit signs who were allowed to throw red water balloons towards the sign, but not hit it, which reminds the Bryce was taught regarding the Kohen Gadol sprinkling the bloods in the Kodesh Kodashim, that when he does Hazah one time above, he does not do Hazah on the Kaporis so that the blood will touch its top, but only opposite the thickness of the Kaporis without the drops of blood actually coming in contact with it. The Gemara asks for the source that the first sprinklings of the bull blood and goat blood are not aimed to come in contact with the top of the Kaporis, but are merely sprinkled upwards. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said in the name of Rav Yizera that the Pasuk states regarding the blood of the goat, Behiza osa kaporis v'fnei kaporis, and he shall sprinkle it upon the kaporis, meaning above, and in front of the kaporis, meaning below. Since the reference to below is not necessary, given that it can be learned out from the law below from the blood of the bull, we can use the word below to learn a hekesh of all to lifnei, from the sprinklings upon the kaporis to the sprinklings in front of the kaporis. Just as the sprinklings done before the kaporis don't reach the kaporis, so too the sprinkling above doesn't reach the kaporis. So the children learning about speed limit signs who are allowed to throw red water balloons towards the sign but not hit it, while counting out loud with concentration. Which reminds me, we learned from the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, so when the Kohen Gadol counted the Hazahs, Hazah Rishon and Tzrichim Minyan Im Kol Achaz V'Achaz, the first sprinkling, meaning the one directed upward, must be counted along with each and every one of the successive Hazahs, the seven directed downward. Rabbi Lazar said the reason is, Shul Yitta B'Hazah, so that he will not err in the counting of the sprinklings. Rashi explains that by counting the first sprinkling with each of the seven, the Kohen Gadol gains a moment to concentrate between each of the seven countings, which prevents him from inadvertently skipping or repeating a number. Rabbi Yochanan said that the reason is based on the pasuk, v'lifnei ha-kaporis yazeh, and in front of the kaporis he shall sprinkle. Since there was no need to state yazeh, since sprinkling was mentioned early in the pasuk, it's coming to teach that the first hazah must be counted with each of the next seven. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if someone did not count the first one each time, but didn't err in the Hazahs, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv and must repeat the Hazahs. So the children learning about speed limit signs who were allowed to throw red water balloons towards a sign but not hit it, while counting out loud with concentration, were told the true story of an owner of a obligatory kinim who was killed in a speeding accident before his birds were offered. Which reminds us, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was only a single stand to hold the containers of blood for after the Hazahs. The Gemara brings a related ruling from a Rabbi that states that Rabbi Yehuda says that there were no shofaros, no collection boxes in the Hazara for the obligatory kinim because of the danger of intermixing the chattas with the ola. The Gemara asks what is meant by the danger of intermixing, and after rejecting the initial interpretations, concludes the decree was enacted because of a chattas shemesu ba'alei avadai, the possibility of intermixing a chattas whose owner has certainly died. If he dies before the contents of the box are offered, all the monies in the box will be rendered invalid. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1. Which of you when the Kohen Gadol counts achas va'achas to increase his concentration so he doesn't skip or repeat a count? That's on Daf Nun Hei. Good. Number 2. Which of you when the stone in the Kodesh Kodashim was named the Evan Shasiya because the world was founded from it? That's on Daf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 3. Which of you when the Amitraksim was not included in the dimensions of the Kodesh Kodashim or the Kodesh? That's on Daf
Nun Beis. Good number four. Which of them have a question if the Temura can be done with the Kohen Gadol's par, given that other Kohanim are attaining Kapara through it? That's on Daf. Nun. Good number five. Which of them when Rav Yehuda was concerned that the weakness of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim would cause him to confuse which stand was the bull's blood and which one was the goat's? That's on Daf. Nun Vav. Good number six. Which of them when the Kohanim on the regal would roll back the parochas so that Kal Yisrael could see the Kruvim in an embrace? That's on Daf. Nundad. Good number seven. Which of the when Yehuda says there were no collection boxes for a obligatory kinyan because of the concern of a chatzah shemesu ba'alei avadai? That's on Daf. Nunhei. Good number eight. Which of the when the proof that Rehu does not permit Brera is that he does not permit stipulating two Erevin in different directions for two Chachamim coming on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Nunvav. Good number nine. Which of the when the text for the short tefillah the Kohen Gadol said when he exited from the Kodesh Kodashim? That's on Daf. Nun Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which of the when Rav Yehuda and the others were concerned that the wineskin and the kusi wine would break retroactively, causing the purchaser to drink tevel? That's on Daf. Nun Vav. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which of the when Rav Meir holds the kolbon is a derisor or carbon whose source is the mapei shel eish, the fiery coin that Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu? That's on Daf. Dalad and Shkalim. Good. Number two. Which of the when that David HaMelech was forgiven? That's on Daf. Laman and Shabbos. Good. And number three, which of the one about the Maisel of Ashi and Mechoza being asked to make Kiddush Rabbah? That's on Daf. Kufav and Pesachim. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.